Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Love and Relationships Podcast, a hotline style show where people call in with questions about love, sex, dating, singleness, and marriage, and mental and emotional health. I'm Deborah Falada, and I'm so glad you're tuning into these candid, unscripted conversations where I answer your questions in short, bite-sized, practical answers. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a licensed professional counselor, relationship expert, and author of 6 books. I also run the popular relationship advice blog, truelovedates.com, reaching millions of people with the message that healthy people make healthy relationships. If you have a question that you want me to answer on the show, send it by voice memo to Deborah@truelovedates.com or submit it on my podcast page, truelovedates.com/love-and-relationships, and I'll do my best to get it answered on one of the episodes. So let's get started. I don't know if you've heard, but it is singles summer. Over the past few weeks, we have been celebrating and encouraging Christian singles with all kinds of singles events, mixers, devotionals, groups, and so much more. I truly believe that if we want to make a dent in the divorce rate, we have to start by getting our singles healthy and in healthy relationships. In honor of Singles Summer, we're going to be diving into the Singles Summer podcast series, where I'll be sharing some of our favorite episodes about singleness, dating, and relationships. Be sure to share these episodes with all the Christian singles you know. If you're single and you want to get connected with what we're doing for singles, check out truelovedates.com/singlessummer. Now let's take some time to listen in to some of our favorite episodes for singles. Today on the show, we are joined by Christy from New York City. Hi, Christy.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yes, it's great to have you and be able to connect. So tell me a little bit about what's on your mind.
Yeah, thanks so much. So I am in my late 30s. Well, actually just turned 37. So technically, yeah, late 30s now. And have never been married and always been really open to the idea of marriage, but also just been really content and happy in singleness for a while. But lately have just been feeling a lot of discontentment in that area of my life. Just kind of wondering how to navigate dating and pursuing marriage and the idea of, is there still hope even in your late 30s of that happening? And really just what to do with the idea of like those desires for companionship and intimacy and family in the time that they've gone unfulfilled.
Yeah, that's a good question. So you said that for the most part, you have felt content, but then lately it's changed and you find yourself being a little more discontent. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I spent most of my 20s in Nashville with a great group of friends, just great community.
That's where the accent's from.
Yeah, Nashville. And so when I moved to New York about 5 years ago, I built some great community here as well and just always found companionship in that idea of community, church community, and friendship. And just, you know, as I get a little bit older, I realize most of my community now is married and has kids. And it's getting a little bit more awkward to navigate how to live in that community well and have that answer those needs for companionship. And just loving single life from the realm of traveling and having a good time, but also just always desire to have a family and share that intimate relationship of marriage. And so just not really sure what to do with that, knowing that it might maybe not be possible in the future, but it could be something that God's just put off for a while. And so while I'm still happy for what God has given me, I'm also just kind of wondering how to make space for that in my life in a way that maybe it could really happen.
Yeah. And I love that you are able to be honest about you're feeling discontent at this time, because I think sometimes, especially as Christians, we don't want to use that word. Like, it's like taboo. Like, I need to be content in all circumstances. So it's almost like we don't want to admit to ourselves that we're feeling discontent in an area of our life. But it sounds like for you lately, up against the backdrop of all your friends and what they're going through, their marriages, their kids, it's hard to ignore the desire that you have for marriage up against that backdrop day in, day out, when everyone's getting married and you're kind of navigating how to handle interacting with your married friends. And sometimes I say, it's like, how do you be a healthy single in a world that kind of caters to married people? You know, sometimes that's what it feels like. So first of all, I would say to you, Christy, hold on to that desire. You know, just hold on to it. And here's the thing about singleness that I like to tell people. You don't have to like being single to be a godly, healthy person. And I think sometimes we feel like we have to enjoy every stage of our life in order to be like, in order to be doing what God has called us to do. We've got to enjoy this season. Well, here's the thing. I don't think that's true. I think contentment is an emotional, spiritual place of peace and steadiness in who God is and in what He's called you to. But that doesn't mean you have to like it, you know? Like some people don't like being single, and I think that's okay. Just like other people are going through things at work or things in their relationship or things with their children that they don't like. And not liking something doesn't take away from the deep connection and relationship you have with God. Like, it doesn't diminish your faith. It doesn't diminish your relationship with God. It doesn't diminish who you are as a Christian because you're not enjoying a certain part of this season of life. So I just wanted to put that out there first and foremost, because I feel like sometimes people struggle in and of themselves with that idea that I feel guilty that I'm struggling. I feel guilty that I don't want to be single. I feel guilty that I desire something else. And I say hold on to that desire, because I truly believe that when you're walking with God, He gives you the desires of your heart, meaning He places those desires within you. So that desire for marriage is a desire that He's given you. And I say hold on to that desire, no matter how old you are, whether you're in your early 30s, late 30s, early 40s, late 40s, or even beyond that. Hold on to those desires, because you have no clue God's timeline. And I look at King David in Scripture. I recently spoke at a singles event, and I kind of found myself camping out in David's story. Because when we read his story, we kind of skim through it. Like, oh, he was anointed as king. Well, it took years and years and years and years and years and ups and downs and death threats and literally almost losing his life before that promise was fulfilled, you know? But when we read David's story, we're like, oh, he was anointed one day, and the next chapter, he's king. But it's like we miss that there was decades and decades in between that promise and when it was fulfilled. And to me, that desire in your heart is a promise that you hold on to until God tells you otherwise. Mm. You know? And the second thing I would tell you, Christy, don't buy into the lies. I think one thing that a lot of people struggle with in singleness, and I know this because I hear from so many singles, is the lies that they're believing about why they're single or about God and His love for them because they're single. Like, maybe God doesn't love me. Maybe something's wrong with me. Maybe I did something to deserve this. Like, why am I single? They try to answer that question, but they answer it with unhealthy, dangerous lies that end up hurting themselves because they start believing these lies about themselves and feeling insecure and struggling in their relationship with God. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that component of it? And do you feel like any of those lies have creeped up for you? You're laughing, so it makes me wonder.
Yes, because I think that's definitely something I've been struggling through over the last few years and just thinking through. Like every time somebody gets engaged or gets married, I like look at their story and be like, now what did I do differently that didn't lead to this? And so, and I've spent a lot of time just probably believing lies that I know are from the enemy. But it's you see it in culture, you see it in friendships, you see it even in well-meaning people giving advice, if you do this or you do that. And so I think there is a lot of that that plays into that, and it really gets into your identity sometimes. And that's something I've been trying to fight against, knowing that my identity is really in Christ, not in my relationship status or the things that the blessings he's provided one way or the other. And so really, I think that has been something I've struggled with, and just trying to tell myself, here's what scripture says about my identity. Here's what scripture says about God's love for me, regardless of my relationship status. And so that's a great word of encouragement. I know probably many of us single girls out there really just need to hear that. And even single guys, because I think it goes both ways with guys and girls, just believing things that are not true because we hear them so often, for sure.
Yes. You start holding on to those lies for so long that, like you said, they start becoming a part of your identity.
Yeah.
And then you can start living out of those lies that you're not good enough, you know, or you're not beautiful enough, or you're not faithful enough, or whatever it is. When those lies enter and you start living out of them, it starts impacting the way that you live and the choices that you make. You know, when you're carrying the lie that you're not good enough, the next not good enough guy that comes along is going to look pretty good to you. Whereas when you believe who you are and what you're worth, you're going to be able to say no to those unhealthy relationships because you know who you are and what you deserve. So it actually starts impacting the choices that you make when those lies start sneaking into your identity.
Yeah, for sure.
The other thing that I would say to you as a piece of encouragement, and something it sounds like you're already doing, but I really think it's important for people who may not already be taking this step, is to continue connecting with the people that God has given you. I think it's so easy to look at what God has not given you instead of looking at all that he has given you. It's easy to focus on what you want instead of what you have. Mm-hmm. And I love that you said, you know, for such a big portion of your life, and even in this new move, like you were proactive in finding a new community when you moved. You were proactive in getting connected and getting plugged in and making those friendships and developing that community, because you're single, but guess what? You were made for relationships. And you've got to fulfill that desire in a healthy way, because here's the thing, the people that are not fulfilling that desire in a healthy way, that desire for connection, it's going to get fulfilled in an unhealthy way at some point. You're going to allow unhealthy people in your life, unhealthy relationships, make choices that you regret because you're trying to get that need for connection, but you either fill it in a healthy way and you have to be deliberate about doing that, or you're passive about it and it gets filled in an unhealthy way. And so I love hearing about your community and how you have really made the choice to get plugged in. I'd love to hear you kind of talk us through that a little bit, because I know there's a lot of singles out there who are like, I don't even know where to begin. People are always asking me, where do I find a good counselor? At the Deborah Falada Counselors Network, we want to help you navigate through any difficult season you might be facing. We want to help you find relief from the pain and stress of the present and healing from the wounds of the past in order to find freedom, joy, and peace in the life you're living today. Our team of trained, licensed professional counselors will walk by your side and give you the tools you need to face any personal or relational issue you might be up against today. With an integrative approach, we'll guide you with truths from God's Word paired with the best of modern counseling and psychology to help you get unstuck and live freely. There's no better time for healing than today. Book a session with one of our counselors at deborahfalada.com/counseling and get started on your journey of healing from the inside out. How did you take those steps to get plugged in, and what did that look like for you?
Yeah, first and foremost, finding a church community was very key to that. And that was a little bit harder actually for me in this move because I work in the church planting world. And so I'm in a new church plant, new church start with smaller congregations, especially in a city that's very unchristian. And so finding a church community to plug into, no matter, you know, if that's in your community locally or if it's a little bit further outside of that, that was a huge deal for me to get plugged into a church community. And then on top of that, finding just things I like, interests I have, and getting involved in that. And so I play volleyball, so I joined a volleyball class early on, met some friends through that. And then through those friends, met probably 10 or 12 more friends.
Wow.
And so Just through interest of my, you know, that I enjoy, like volleyball, other sports. I do a lot of like meetups for meetup.com, just playing sports with different people around the city. But primarily, I think it's always that community has always come from the church community. And I think that goes back to me just looking for those healthier relationships, which I know I feel like for the most part I've always found in church community. But being willing to step outside of that church community and finding relationships outside of that has been an encouraging thing for me as well.
I love that. And I think that's the key. You are deliberate. You're making those steps. You're keeping your mind and your heart open to, okay, maybe I'm not going to do the traditional way. Like maybe I'm not going to end up finding some guy who gets dropped in my lap one day. I actually have to meet people. I actually have to get out of the house. I actually have to do the work. And we really take that on in other aspects of our life. For example, when you're trying to get a job, you're out there, you're grinding, you're putting in applications. But relationships, for some reason, as Christians, we tend to view them a lot more passively, you know? It's like, well, if God wants me in a relationship, it'll happen. Well, here's the thing. He does want you in relationships, and that's why he's given us community, but it takes you to be proactive. And I love what you said about getting involved with volleyball, because I always tell singles, get involved in the things you love. If you want to find someone who's a good match for you, don't get involved in things you don't like, you know? Like if you don't like sports, don't go get involved in sports and assume that you're going to meet somebody there. Well, their passion is probably going to be completely different from your passion. So don't just get involved for the potential of meeting somebody. Get involved in things you actually love and like and enjoy, because the people that you meet there are going to be people who are like-minded and people you can connect with. And if you don't meet somebody that's a potential date, you will probably find a whole set of really, really good friends, kind of like you mentioned, Christy. And I really love that concept. And I also just want to encourage and affirm what you said about getting plugged into church community. Like, community is so key, and learning to do life together and be surrounded by good people, because the people you surround yourself with are the people that are going to rub off on you for the good and for the bad.
Yeah, for sure.
The other thing that I just wanted to add here that I think is really important is there's some things that you can control, like we said, like the activities that you're involved in and the things that you're doing, and making sure you're taking those steps and taking responsibility for your relationships. But then there are things you can't control, like the timeline of when it happens or the kind of eligible bachelors that happen to be in the church that you go to or in the group that you're in. And sometimes I think it's important for us to forge the way. For example, let's say you're living in a town right now and you're listening to this and you're like, well, there isn't anything for singles and there isn't anything for young adults or older singles. Well, then you start something, you know, you forge the way. You start a small group. You get a group of people together. There's a group that started here with just a couple singles meeting. And now it's like 400 people that meet every week for like a full-fledged church service. And I just love the idea that if something's not there, you take the reins and you start meeting your needs in a healthy way. But then there's other things that are outside of your control. The timing and the type of people that you're surrounded by and whether or not people are a good match for you or if you feel like you're, again, in a small church, for example, and there's not that many people that you'd consider dating. When there's some things that are out of your control, that's when you've got to really, really up your belief and trust in who God says he is and the truth that he wants and has good things for your life. Because you can only control so many things, and the rest of it, you kind of just have to leave up to him. And it sounds like you, Christy, are controlling the things that you can and making the changes that you can and meeting people and opening your heart up. But it's still not happening, right?
Right, yeah.
And those things that are out of your control, you're either going to allow them to draw you towards Jesus and say, God, I still trust you. I still trust you, even if things are not getting fulfilled in this world, in my time, in my way. I still trust you and I hold on to you. Or you allow those desires and those unfulfilled things that aren't happening in your timing to push you away from him. And I love talking to you because you're an example and an encouragement to so many people of what it can look like to have an unfulfilled longing in your life, but still hold on to Jesus and hold on to his promises and hold on to his word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for that. Just as one follow-up, I'd love to ask your opinion on, you mentioned some of those unhealthy relationships you can develop. Would you say there are things that we put ourselves in that you would just say, don't put yourself in this situation, whether that's like online dating or meeting people at bars, whatever that might be? Are there places where you would say, maybe just stay away from looking for relationships in those areas?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the funny thing about you mentioned online dating, we have an episode all about online dating and actually the pros of online dating with a couple that met online. So they have a really fun story. So they'll have to tune into that podcast episode. But I do think that absolutely there are some places and people groups and communities that you don't want to get involved with because they don't have the same principles, the same morals, the same values, the same belief systems. When you're talking about getting involved in a group and potentially finding someone that's going to be a good match for your life, they've got to be a good match emotionally, psychologically, spiritually. And if one of those things is off, then I don't think it's worth pursuing peer-to-peer relationships and communities where you are not connecting on those important levels of who you are and what you believe. Because then you end up dating people that are not actually a good fit for you. You end up settling. You end up putting your standards aside and saying, well, you know, I do appreciate my relationship with God and it's a big part of my life, but I can't find anyone. So I'm just going to go ahead and settle for someone who isn't where I'm at spiritually. And I think sometimes the thing that leads people to settling the most is that feeling of desperation, you know, and feeling exasperated, feeling like there's nowhere else to turn. And so instead of forging a new path or a new road or investing in more healthy relationships, they start taking a detour into unhealthy relationships to fulfill those desires. But here's the thing, for someone like you, who is connected and connecting, the tendency to do that is going to be a lot less than it is for someone who's not connecting. Because again, when you're fulfilling that need to connect in a healthy way, there's a lot less chance that it's going to get fulfilled in an unhealthy way. But if you're not fulfilling that need, the next person that comes along, doesn't matter how healthy or unhealthy they are, you're going to cling to them, you know?
Yeah.
So keep pouring into that part of your life, making those deep connections. And you know what else? Tell your friends that you are single and looking. I mean, don't be shy. Tell your married friends. You go tell them, hey, guys, I am open to meeting people. I am open to whoever you think would be a good person to date. Because here's the thing. Sometimes your married friends, they don't realize that you actually want to be set up with somebody. And I'll tell you, I love setting people up. I'll just put that out there. But I found that a lot of my married friends don't really want to take that step because they don't want to embarrass their single friends. They don't want to make them feel bad. But if you're open to that, you tell people you're open to that because one of the best ways to meet people is through people who know you and know the other person. I think sometimes the best relationships come out of those setup type things like, oh, there's someone I think you would really be make a good connection with. Are you open to meeting them? But it takes you being willing to kind of put that out there. And some people are embarrassed to do that.
Yeah, I actually have let plenty of my married and single friends know that. So I'm hoping that helps out. So.
Yes, it's bound to help. And you just be open to those connections and understand what your preferences are and what your needs are in a relationship and just kind of stick to those. But then be flexible with your preferences, you know, like sometimes someone will come along that's not totally what you thought as far as preferences. Maybe they live in a different state. Maybe they have a job that you didn't necessarily connect with. Maybe they're of a different culture or of a different family background. But that's when it's important to understand the difference between preferences and needs and making sure that you're open and your heart is open to kind of exploring different preferences that you never imagined before.
Yeah, for sure. That's really helpful.
Well, thank you, Christy. It was so good to talk to you. And I'm going to end with the summary that you have got to hold on to those desires and you do not let those desires go until God tells you to do so.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing your story.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
You take care.
Thanks.
Today on the podcast, we mentioned lies that we can believe about being single. Did you know that there are certain beliefs that might actually be holding you back? Lies that you've believed for so long that they've become a part of the way you think and feel and behave. Lies that tell you you're not good enough and maybe even shame you into believing that you aren't worthy of love. If, like our caller today, you find yourself struggling to battle lies about singleness, I want to introduce you to my 14-day course called Breaking Free from the Lies of Singleness. These 14 days will help open your eyes to the lies you might be believing and how they might be impacting the way you do relationships. In this course, you'll learn the 7 lies that might be holding you back, but more so, you'll learn the truths that can propel you forward. Check out this course at truelovedates.com/store and use code podcast to get 25% off. It's time to change the way you believe, and as a result, change how you live. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast and giving me your time today. If you love what we're doing here, leave us a 5-star rating and review and help us get the podcast out to others. If you want to go deeper with getting healthy and making healthy relationships, go check out some of my books, True Love Dates, Choosing Marriage, Love in Every Season, Are You Really Okay, Married Sex, or my newest book, Reset. You can find more information about those as well as hundreds of articles and courses over at my blog, truelovedates.com or deborahfileta.com. I love connecting with you online, so find me on Facebook or Instagram at Deborah Fileta and tell me your story. If you have a question for me, reach out to me at truelovedates.com/love-and-relationships and we'll try to get it answered on the show. I'm Deborah Fileta, and it was so great being together today, and I can't wait to be with you again next week. See you later.